reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Well-known passage that speaks of the armour of God. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Good morning. So today we have got to the last in our series looking at prayer. And in the series so far, we have, of course, focused mostly on our relationship with God and how we pray to him in different ways and for different things. We've also thought a little bit about our relationship with others in prayer, how we pray for others, how we pray with others. But the focus of this final session is a little bit different. We're looking at a different context in which our prayer life happens, the spiritual battle that's going on. I have to confess, this hasn't been an easy sermon for me to write and to try and get my head round, because it's such a huge topic and there's so much about it that I admit that I don't understand and that I haven't fully grasped. And what I've tried to do as I've gone through it is to try and think very practically about how we can learn from this passage and other passages in the Bible about this spiritual battle, and in particular, what is the role of prayer in the battle. That's what I've had to keep coming back to, because this is a series on prayer and there's so much that I cannot do in the short time that we've got together. I can't do a full definitive theology of spiritual warfare, of the devil, of the place of evil in the world. It would take us months, but as I say, even then I'm not sure I'd have the knowledge and understanding to cover it all anyway. Something else that I'm not going to do is to unpack in detail the armour of God. And that's really a shame, because the armour of God is such a fantastic passage to look at. There's so much in there. But I've had to be ruthless and keep saying to myself, what does this mean for prayer? And that's really going to be my focus this morning, is what's the spiritual battle that we're in and what place does prayer have in that? So that hopefully by the end of it, we've got some really practical ideas about how we can better pray in the context of that battle. So what I'm going to do is, in the first half of the talk, I'm going to try and set the scene a little bit. So just to give a little bit of an overview of this spiritual battle that we're in. And then in the second half, I'm going to really focus on how do we pray then in that setting. And I think actually before I get going on that, it would be good to pray now. Heavenly Father, as we grapple with some really tricky subjects over these next few minutes, I pray that you will be in all that I say, that you will be in our hearts and minds as we listen to you, and that through your Spirit you will speak to us. Lord, challenge us where we are too comfortable. Father, encourage us where we are full of doubt and fear. And above all, may we hear from you this morning. Amen. So it would be useful if you could keep your Bible open with that Ephesians passage, Ephesians chapter 6, that was read for us. Although I am going to jump around to some other places as well, but we will try and keep coming back to that. Okay, so I said I was going to start by setting the scene, setting the context. And my first point is to say that we are at war. Now, like I say, I'm not going to unpack all of the detailed theology of this, but not only this passage, but actually the whole Bible, right from Genesis through very much to Revelation, makes it clear that there is a battle going on. The Bible makes it clear that there is a devil, that there is evil, that there are malign spiritual influences in the world. And that's quite an important starting point because it's quite easy, perhaps particularly in our Western culture, to kind of brush that to one side, to think, well, we don't see any terribly dramatic manifestations of that we perhaps hear about in other places, in other cultures, in other times. And so we don't perhaps even think about the devil and the forces of evil very much at all. And with our kind of our rational thinking, we can perhaps find ways to explain away some of the things that we see in the world around us. Because we know that we're sinful, we're all sinful. And so that explains much of the hurt and the wrongdoing and the things that people do to each other. We know that the whole of creation is fallen, and that as a result, there are natural disasters, that there's illness and death. And so, you know, all of those things are true. So if we kind of focus on those, we can forget that actually there is another force at work as well. In addition to those things, there's these forces of evil that the Bible talks about, which are in constant battle. So Paul says at the beginning of this passage in verse 12, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. There's a bigger enemy. It's not just about us against other people. There's something more going on. And he uses lots of ways in this passage to talk about that enemy, lots of different names. And again, I'm not going to try and explain the difference between these, but he talks about the devil, the devil's schemes in verse 11. In verse 12, the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So he gives a very convincing picture of what it is that we are fighting against. And like I say, it's echoed throughout the whole Bible. And what does that mean in kind of our day-to-day lives? Well, in the first letter of Peter in chapter 5, Peter says this: be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So that picture then of the devil like a prowling lion, kind of watching, waiting, seeing how to catch us out. He attacks us personally. He knows our weaknesses. He wants to make us ineffective in our work for God. He knows the temptations to put our way. He knows the ways in which he can distract us, the ways he can tempt us to think, to say, to do things which we know aren't the way God wants for us. He knows how to whisper lies to us. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. He knows how to make us doubt, how to fear. He knows how to make us feel insecure and unloved. So he prowls around trying to find ways to attack us personally. But the Bible makes it clear that evil forces are working on a bigger scale as well, to sort of jump to the other extreme of that kind of global battle that's going on. There's a really interesting passage in Daniel chapter 10. And in that story, Daniel has a vision about a great war, and he's so disturbed about it that for 3 weeks, the Bible tells us that he mourned and he called on God. So he threw himself before God in prayer for 3 weeks, but nothing happened. And then after 3 weeks, he had a visitation by an angel. And this is what the angel said to him. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." So it just gives us a little bit of an insight into that unseen battle that is going on in the heavenly realms. So as far as Daniel was concerned, he was praying and nothing was happening. But the angel says, "Yes, I was coming to answer your prayers, but I was detained by the prince of the Persian kingdom." And he's clearly talking in this context about a spiritual prince, a spiritual authority that delayed him. And one of the other angels, Michael, had to come and fight with him in order to defeat this prince and to be able to get through to answer Daniel's prayers. So the devil and the evil forces associated with him work in a whole manner of different ways, whether that's, you know, attacking individuals or working on a bigger scale and affecting whole cultures, whole countries, and having whatever destructive impact he can on the world. So the first part of context then is that we are at war. But the second and really important point I want to make in context is that the war is won, although the enemy is still fighting. So right from the outset, let's affirm that the devil has been defeated. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." We've celebrated communion together this morning. It's our regular reminder that Jesus, by his death, has defeated the devil and sin and suffering and death. And when Jesus returns, the devil will be totally overcome. That's why in the passage about the armour of God, our protection comes from our salvation, not from our own strength, but through what Jesus has done. So the armour of God talks about the breastplate of righteousness. That's the righteousness that Jesus bought for us on the cross. It talks about the shield of faith, how our faith in Jesus is what protects us, and the helmet of salvation. So Jesus has won the victory. We have already defeated the devil. But clearly, from what we read in the Bible and what we see in the world around us, evil forces are still powerful and active. Revelation 12 gives us a little bit of an insight into that. It says, "The devil is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." He knows that he's been defeated and that one day he will be, you know, thrown away altogether. But in the meantime, he is out to cause as much trouble and destruction as he can before Jesus returns and puts a final end to evil, to sin, to suffering and death. It's interesting that in the Gospel of John, Jesus three times refers to the devil as the prince of this world. The prince of this world, it implies that the devil has power and malign influence. What's also interesting is that each time Jesus calls him prince of the world, he mentions his defeat as well. So in John 12, he says, "Now the prince of this world will be driven out." In John 14, he says, "The prince of this world is coming, but he has no hold over me." And in John 16, "The prince of this world now stands condemned." So that's the tension that we hold, and that's what we have to try and get balanced in our mind, is that the devil has been defeated, but that he still kind of thrashes around like a wounded animal trying to cause hurt and suffering in his dying throes. So he has power, he can you know, cause malign influence, but ultimately he is defeated. And I just want to encourage us with familiar words from Romans 8, where Paul says, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So the war is won, but the enemy is still fighting. And the final little bit of context before I get properly onto the next part of what I want to say is the final point is that prayer is crucial to our defence. Prayer is a fundamental part of our armour. Now, sometimes when I'm reading this passage in Ephesians chapter 6, it feels a little bit like the prayer is a bit of an afterthought, because Paul has this lovely metaphor. He's, you know, perhaps picturing a Roman soldier, and he talks about the shield and the belt and the shoes and, you know, the helmet and the breastplate and so on. And then he says, oh, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It's as if he can't quite fit prayer into his metaphor. But it isn't an afterthought. It isn't something kind of extra. This is an absolutely fundamental part of our armour. So I just want to read from the final part of this passage, from verses 18 through to 20. Listen to what he says. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fiercely make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Five times in those short verses, he says, pray, pray, pray. And not just praying in general, but pray in the knowledge and context of this battle, praying against these forces of evil. So, we're at war. The war is won, but the enemy is still fighting, and prayer is crucial to our defence. So, what does that mean? How do we pray? I'm going to just try and go through five ways that I think practically we can learn from this in thinking, how does this affect our prayer lives? So first of all, we need to pray persistently and all the time. So Paul exhorts the Ephesians in verse 18 to pray in the Spirit on all occasions and to keep on praying. There's no let up. We need to be constantly battling in prayer, and we mustn't give up. And we've talked about, you know, that persistence in prayer over some of the previous weeks. Also, over the past few weeks, we've touched as well on some of the difficulty of unanswered prayer. And there are many possible reasons why sometimes our prayers seem not to be answered. And often we may never know why we don't see God work in the way that we want him to, or that we hope he will. But that passage that we read earlier from Daniel actually gives us another possible reason sometimes why we don't see immediate answers to our prayers. Let me just read that passage from Daniel again. Since the day that you first set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days, and so on. So God heard his prayer from the first day and dispatched the angel straight away to answer Daniel. But the battle, the spiritual powers, prevented him from coming for 3 weeks. So when we pray and we don't see answers, like I say, there could be many reasons, but one of the possible reasons is that there is a spiritual battle going on, and we need to persist. We need not to give up and think, well, clearly God's not going to do anything. God may well have already answered the prayer, but the battle that is going on is preventing us from seeing the answer to the prayers. So it's an encouragement to pray persistently and to keep on praying. Secondly, we need to pray for discernment. We need to pray that our eyes will be open. I said at the beginning, it's easy to get complacent, to think that the devil is something that we don't need to worry about. But we need to ask God to help us see when the forces of evil are at work, to recognise when the devil is active. Paul tells the Ephesians in verse 18, be alert. And Peter uses those same words in the passage that we read earlier, be alert. So we need discernment to be able to see that battle that's going on, not to be blind to it. But it's not just being able to see that the devil is at work and that there are forces of evil. It's also seeing that the battle belongs to God. There's a really wonderful story in Kings where the prophet Elisha is in a bit of a sticky situation. The king of Aram is angry with him and is out to get him. And it says this in 2 Kings 6. It says, the king of Aram sent horses and chariots and a strong force to surround Elisha. They went by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, so that's Elisha's servant, when he got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. It kind of gives me tingles thinking about that scene, that the servant looked and all he could see was the doom and destruction, the insurmountable odds. But Elisha saw the bigger picture. He saw that the angels surrounding them with her chariots of fire were greater than those who were fighting on the other side. And that's what we need to pray for, is that we will not only see the real enemy, but that we'll also see that God and his army fight with us. The next thing I think we need to be encouraged to do is to pray for each other. So when we are isolated and alone, we are more vulnerable to the devil's schemes. On the other hand, when we stand together, we fight as an army, not as individuals. And Paul said in this passage, didn't he, "Keep on praying for all the Lord's people and pray also for me." He was saying, don't just look out for yourselves. Don't just keep an eye on what the devil is trying to do to you, but look out for each other as well. And again, that passage in 1 Peter that we looked at earlier, it said, "Resist the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." So in a sense, we're all in this together. We're all under attack, and we need to fight together and pray together. It says in the Bible that Jesus himself was tempted and knew suffering. We have a great high priest who understands what it is to be attacked by the devil. But he's also put us in a family of other believers who are going through the same thing. And sometimes others will be under attack more. And sometimes it might be us that's under attack. But we don't fight alone. We need to support each other, to pray for each other, to ask each other for prayer when we need it. My next point is that we need to pray with confidence and authority. So when we pray in this spiritual battle, we pray with the confidence of knowing that Jesus has already won the victory. We shouldn't underestimate or downplay the challenges of the battle, but we know that God fights with us and that victory is sure. It says in 1 John, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." And as Jesus has defeated the devil, he has authority over him. And he gives that authority to his disciples in the Gospels when he sends them out to cast out evil spirits and to heal illnesses. And amazingly, he gives that authority to us too, so that in Jesus' name, we can pray against the forces of evil. We have Jesus's power and authority as we pray. And the last thing I want to say about how we pray is that we need to pray for God's kingdom to expand. Let me try and explain what I mean by that. It can feel a little bit, when you're reading about this battle and reading about the armour, that it's all very defensive. You know, we're trying to fight off the devil's attack. But I don't want to give the idea that this is about retreat and hiding in a bunker and just kind of holding up a shield and hiding behind it. You don't put on armour unless you are going out into the fight. And so we're not passive in this. We're not just sitting here while the devil throws things at us. We push back. We are active. We are going out to fight. And we get a glimpse of that when we think of some of the comments in this passage in Ephesians. I always think when we're looking at the armour, it's interesting that, you know, with all of the other parts, the helmet and the breastplate and the shield and stuff, is about the shoes. It says, "Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." And I suppose part of our attack against these forces is pushing back with a different power, a different authority, the authority that comes from being members of an alternative kingdom. So there may be a prince of this world who tries to exert his power, but we are citizens of a greater kingdom. We are children of the King of all creation. And so we push against the forces of evil with the good news, with the gospel of peace, showing people and telling people that there is love, there is hope, there is peace, that there is victory through Jesus. And that's why Paul asked the Ephesians to pray for him in verse 19. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. So we pray that not just that we will resist all that the devil throws at us, but that we will push back, that God will expand his kingdom. And we pray that we will be part of that answer as well, that he will use us to take that good news to our friends, our family, our neighbours, our colleagues, our community. And as we step out to do that, we are stepping out into battle, but we do that in assurance of the victory, and we do that equipped with God's armour. I feel like I've raced through a huge topic and there's so much more I want to say, and I'm not sure whether I've said it effectively, but let me just recap what I've said about the ways in which we need to be praying in this spiritual battle. So we need to pray persistently and all the time. We need to pray for discernment. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray with confidence and authority. And we need to pray for God's kingdom to expand. Do we dare do those things? Is it easier just to pretend it isn't relevant to us? Or do we dare to pray that God will equip us for the battle that he has won? Let's just spend a couple of moments reflecting on that and asking God to help us in our prayers in this spiritual battle. Amen. Like I say, this is a huge topic. I'm not sure I've done it justice, but if there's anything within that you want to discuss further, that you're unsure about, you're uncomfortable with, then please do, you know, get in touch. And if you want to talk to somebody about some of these things in more detail, then we can certainly arrange that. But now we're going to close by singing together. We're going to sing O Church Arise, which is a song which summarises a lot of what I've spoken about much more eloquently than I have. And I just want to pick out to finish one little portion of that song. It says, with shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies, an army bold, whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness.